Most of you by now would have heard my story about how my son became involved in the far right, about how he found out and how we got help. But today I want to talk to you about how it feels to have a loved one involved and give you a very real view of what these people go through. I want to show you how far right extremism affects not just those involved, but it also affects the people around them. Having a loved one involved in the far right is a situation like no other. Because of the very controversial topics the far right focus on, the family members or loved ones often feel shame, fear and embarrassment. They will often stay silent for the fear of being judged or even attacked for their loved ones' hateful views and opinions. Parents can especially feel like their parenting abilities will come under question, often afraid that if they speak up, that they may come under investigation from authority figures such as teachers, police or social services. They also may fear that if they do speak up, that they will get that person into trouble, or like myself, fear that they will cause further strain on already damaged relationships. So once again, they stay silent. And that silence is what the far right rely on. That silence just allows the far right to tighten their grip on the individual involved. As with myself, those with loved ones often find that their own friendships and relationships are also often affected. I lost so many friends due to John's involvement. They didn't like his attitude and the disrespect that he showed everyone, and they certainly didn't like what he'd become involved in, and so they simply stopped calling me. Relationships with family members were also strained. Unhelpful comments such as, "You need to sort him out," or, "Well, if he were mine, I would." Well, they just hurt and frustrated me. I needed help and support, not judgment. And to be made to feel even worse and more inadequate than I already did. So I stopped contacting them or taking calls. The few friends that I did have left, I just felt like they were tired and fed up of my depressive state, and they were constantly telling me that I looked tired and ill. They stopped asking me to go out because it was just no longer fun to be around. So I slipped further and further into my own little world. I'd even walk down the street and think people were pointing and staring. I imagined them saying, "See, that girl over there, she's the one with that racist child. She's a terrible mother." And so, if I did have to go out, I walked round with my head down. I just isolated myself from everyone so that I didn't have to hear their judgments or opinions. I desperately needed help. But I just felt completely alone in my own dark world. I did think about contacting the police to ask them to speak to John, but then the realisation that if I did do that, then he'd never forgive me. And our relationship was already so damaged. I was terrified that if I did, he'd move out of the relative safety of our home, and I couldn't bear to think where that could lead. So once again, I stayed silent. Once again, I allowed the far right to tighten the grip on my precious son. I played right into their hands. You see, I did exactly what they wanted me to do. I was a pawn in their game, and to them, it was chessmate. Until a ray of light. One conversation was all it took to get my son the help that we both desperately needed. And from that moment on, our lives began to change. With the support of a mentor, my son left the far right. And today, we have such different lives. Trust, relationships and friendships have all been rebuilt. And we are both in a much happier place. And now, I can walk down the street with my head held high, knowing that I am the proud mother of the most amazing young man.